recites Krishna before nightfall, during twilight, or before sunset, does not discharge his duty. But the Rambam and Chachmei Sfarad say not only is one not supposed to recite Shema before nightfall, before Tzeis HaKachovim, he must not even recite the Broches, the Birkei Shema, the benedictions accompanying Shema, like Yetzirah and Avrabo, because the benedictions are inseparable from the Shema itself. If one does not fulfill the precept of Shema, he cannot actually say the Broches, because the Broches are a part of Shema. But any Zman is not fit, not appropriate, the time for Kriya Shema, it's not appropriate for the recital of the Broches either. I mean, that's what I said. I said that Rashi is in full agreement with the Rambam as to Zman Kriya Shema, Kriya Shema itself. Rashi is also of the opinion that Kriya Shema must never be recited before Tzeis HaKachovim, before nightfall. And only after Tzeis HaKachovim, after the appearance of stars, so Zman Kriya Shema is Kriya Shema, is one supposed to recite Kriya Shema. However, Rashi is of the opinion that even though he is not supposed to recite the Shema, but he comes into a shul and finds the congregation saying, davening Ma'ariv, what they call, you should daven Ma'ariv with them, not only say Shemnesre with them, but say the Broches, Shema, he reads Shema, but his recital is, as far as Shema is concerned, cannot be a substitute for the real Shema. The genuine Shema he will read before retiring, right? However, the fact that the Zman Shema has not arrived does not interfere with his recital of the Broches. The Broches can be recited anyway, even Shalei B'zeh Shema. Yes? Yes, correct. This is called the Gemara. Rav Matzle, when the Gemara says Matzle, in the Gemara always, Matzle is like in Hebrew, Ispalel. And Ispalel means Shemnesre. According to the Ram, you ask according to the Rambam. According to the Ram, that Rav davened Ispalel Shal Shabbos be'erev Shabbos, it means he didn't say Krishma with the Broches, he just said Shemnesre. Shemnesre. And after Shema, and then he said Kiddush, and after Suda service, after the meal, he used to supplement by reciting Krishma with the Broches. Rav Tzolish or Shab, Tesis says, if you take a look in Tesis here, like this, Dav Beis, just Tesis, just about 10 lines from the bottom, וגם ראיו, וגם ראיו, וגם ראיו, לקמון פרק דלת, דף חוב זיין, עומד בייז, you have it down, down, down the column. It's about 10, 3, 6, about 8 lines from the bottom of Tesis, not from the bottom of the Gemara. וגם ראיה, the רב, have a מצלה של שבס. There is another proof that Krishma can be said, that Krishma, one can recite Shema before nightfall, even before sunset. The Rav of a Matzle Shal Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos, he used to daven Tfilas Arvis of Shabbos before sunset. I Matzle Tesis knows very well. When the Gemara says Matzle, the Gemara does not mean Shema. The Gemara means Matzle. Always the Gemara does the one thing on Tfilas. Umistamos of Tesis, most probably Umistamos. Most probably, it's an assumption on the part of Tesis. The Mustamo Gam Hayukiri Krishma, most probably, he said the Broches as well. Why is Tesis sure about it that most probably he used to say the Broches as well? Perhaps he used to say only the Shemnesre. Because otherwise, Rav used to lose the Smichas Gula Letfila. Because our opinion is, we have asked that evening, in the evening, one must say first the Broches, and follow the Broches up with the recital of Shemnesre, not to reverse the order. What we call Smichas Gula Letfilos, you say Goal Yisrael, and follow it up with Shemnesre. Goal Yisrael, here at night, in the evening, we have a long brocha ashkeveinu, but it's also considered gula. You mean to say the brochas of Shema first, and to follow up the brochas of Shema with the recital of Tfilis Smichas Gula Tfilis. Rav apparently didn't violate the aloche of Smichas Gula Tfilis. So, this Rav Yishuv Alei. Kaddish, I will come to Kaddish, a different story. It's a different question. But however, the aloche is, I need Smichas Gula Tfilis at night. But Smichas Gula Tfilis at night is not as important, and not as precise as it is in the morning. But aloche is. This situation is mistamal. Mistamal. So Teisha says, from the mere fact that Rav used to say Shem Nesre of Freitag Tznacht, of Friday evening, late Friday afternoon, we've made a rhyme that Krishna does not require Tzitzak Chomer. Why? Because if he said Shem Nesre, most probably also, I mean, Shem Nesre was most probably preceded by Brochas, so apparently you can say Brochas. This is Teisha's rhyme. But Rashi would say that Mistame is not Mistame. The most probably is not so probable. Basically, the Raivet already asked this question. This is the question, but as to your question, Mr. Kohn. Yes, so we have so two shittes. For the time being, we have two shittes. Rashi and the Rambam both are in agreement that Shema depends exclusively upon what? Upon Laila. It's a common, they say Laila, it's a common. The discrepancy, or rather the controversy between the Rambam and the Rashi pertains not to Krishna itself, but to the Brochas. According to Rambam, neither Shema nor the Brochas must be recited before Tzeisa Kechovim, for Lilo, and according to Rashi, even though the Shema is worthless before Tzeisa Kechovim, but however one can say the Brochas. According to the Ram, if you come into shul, if the daven ma'ariv too early, before sunset of Tzeisak HaChovim, all you have to do is to say Shem Nesre with them. And then after Tzeisak HaChovim, after nightfall, you'll supplement the Shem Nesre with the Brochas. According to Rashi, you can daven with them, but you should be careful, according to Rashi, to say Krishna Halamit. I have two shittas. There is a third shitta, the shittas Rabbeinu Tam, the famous shittas Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, the Ri, that actually not only the brochas can be recited before nightfall, but even Shema itself. Shema does not require Laila. Yeah. Shema does not require Laila. This is Shittas Rabbeinu Tam. Because the Rabbeinu Tam is basically, he agrees, first of all, what moved the Rabbeinu Tam, what prompted the Rabbeinu Tam to say so? It's basically kind of revolutionary to deny that Krishna somehow should coincide with Laila. What prompted, what motivated him? First of all, what motivated him is the practice. The practice, the precedent. People used to daven ma'ariv before nightfall. I explained to you why. The shul were always outside of town. It was not too safe to walk after dark alone. And so then they used to walk in groups. And many takonis, many midhodim, many customs, many mores as to tefillah were introduced in order to protect, so to say, the latecomer from being left alone in shul. Baruch Hashem Leila Mamin Vo'omen was introduced, you know, if he comes late, he should be able to catch up. So the tzibur says Baruch Hashem Leila Mamin Vo'omen, and the latecomer skips it. So then he catches up. Friday night, Mognavus Bidvori was introduced for the latecomers, and the Alochi, not Mognavus, what do you say after? And the famous Gemara, the Gemara said, that Shnayim Shenichnesu LePesach Knesset, two people walked in, entered the shul. Echad Mem Yispalel VeYotzo, one said his prayers and left the shul, V'niach Eschaveret, and left his companion alone, perfumed philosophy panel. God tears up the prayer in his presence. Rather, throws the prayer, throws the prayer at his face. The prayers bounce, actually. Why? Because the man does not have sympathy or understanding to stay with his friend or not for a while until he finishes prayers. He does not deserve that his prayer be accepted of him by God. This was many takones and many maimorot. As a matter of fact, I must tell you, the Tesfos later, of course, in times of Tesfos, the shul were already within the ghetto, not outside of the ghetto. So Tesfos says that whenever someone was still praying, saying his prayers, he used to wait for him. We am I in the sefer? I used to study a little bit, take out the Gemara and study. Even though, I mean, you don't forget, in the Middle Ages, the synagogues were not out of the ghetto, so there was no danger, because the ghetto was pretty safe. I mean, so, still Tesfos. Here it is, take Daf Vav. Daf Vav. The top cases, that's not a medal, six that. And his power will hint in his chavere. Whoever prayed, said his prayers, and did not wait for his friend to finish his prayers, and walked out of him. Carefully, God tears up the prayer, and throws the prayer at his face. It means contemptuously. Kirish Rabbi Natan said, and this is aloch, it's a very strange aloch. Why should I wait for him? If he's a latecomer, why should I waste time and wait for him to finish his prayers? This aloch is related to their synagogues, Shuhoyu Basoret, were outside town. Lekach Balala, that's why in the evening time, Yesh Lehamtin, one has to wait for the other fellow to finish his prayers, now they should both walk off. The Ri apparently does not agree with the Rabbi Natan. The Ri's opinion is not a safety measure. The Ri, I told you, the Ri already, according to Rabbi Natan, does not apply to Bat Midrash, the synagogues, which were just within the ghetto, within the Jewish neighborhood, and the walking was safe at night. But only in Babylonia during Talmudic times, during the Talmudic period, I mean, they were not allowed to build their synagogues in town. They had to build outside of town. The Shekinah, the Goyim, I mean, vis-a-vis the Jews, I mean, they sometimes unimaginably say, outside of town. That's why the aloha was so strict about leaving someone alone in the synagogue. And that's why, according to Rabbi, it's not applicable to our shul, even though it's not safe to walk in Boston either. Nor was it applicable to the shul during the Middle Ages, correct? Yes. But the Ri apparently disagreed with Rabbi Natan. He thought that this aloche is not a safety measure. It's not related to problems of safety and security. The Ri or Yom Achrat Filosei, and the Ri used to, so to say, prolong his tefillah. If you notice that someone came in late, he used to prolong. The Ri doesn't say Ma'arif. The Rabbi Natan says Ma'arif. Ulekar Balaylo Yesh La'amtin. Because if it is a result simply of circumstances, of historical circumstances, I mean, and the question of safety. So of course it applies only to the evening. In the daytime, there was no need for or the person who finished his saying his prayers, to wait for the latecomer, you understand? This is the Rabbi Netam. Rabbi Netam interpreted in terms of safety. Vodari, Vodari, or Yamacher Tfilosei, Pesach, don't say Balayla. The Ri says, the Ri used to prolong his prayers. Umaruv, to drag out the prayers. Achayetzukulam, until everybody left the synagogue. It means he never left the synagogue ahead of the people, but he was always the last one to leave. The last to want to leave, very strange. Vim betechkach, poyo shumodom beisakneses, and he, in spite of the fact that he prolonged his prayers, still some people remain in shul, poyo ma'ayim besefer, used to take out the sefer, study, achigomru tfilosom, until they finished their tfilah. It means there is a disagreement with the Rabbi Netam. Is in disagreement, so to say, on two issues. On what? On two issues. One issue, no? And first of all, let's take the first issue. The first issue is the basic issue. Whether it was a temporary injunction, due to certain local circumstances, which is not applicable to other circumstances, if the synagogue is safe and the streets are safe, I cannot walk alone in the street, so there is no reason that I should keep him company because he's a latecomer. Why should I keep him company? Why should I waste time if he's a latecomer? Yes. This is number one. Of course, now, in consequence, as a result of this interpretation, even during Talmudic period, it was applicable only to one tefillah. To what tefillah? To Maariv. Because in the evening, in the morning, the problem of safety did not prevail. This is number one. This is one, two. The Ri disagrees with him. First of all, the Ri, we don't know yet the Ri's reason, but the Ri did not ascribe this injunction to practical, so to say, to the need for safe conduct, so to say, and safety. No. If this is the case, that applies not only, it's not a temporary injunction, but it's a perennial injunction. It's an injunction in prayer that I must not leave someone alone in the synagogue. Even though the synagogue is safe and the streets are quite safe, there is no lack of security measures. But simply, I should not walk out on someone if he's still involved in prayer. We don't know the reason yet. Not safety. Contrary, not safety. Because during medieval times, there was no problem of safety because the synagogue was in the ghetto itself, And the ghetto was a pretty safe place, Of course, not during a pogrom or riots, but usually the ghetto, they used to have, the ghetto was walled in, they used to close the gates of the ghetto. At sunset, the gates of the ghetto used to be locked. No one could enter the ghetto or leave the ghetto without permission of the guards or the night watchmen. So there was no problem of safety anymore. And still the Ri maintained that the aloha is valid. So apparently the reason is not because of safety. And secondly, if this be the case, it applies not only to the evening prayers, to daytime too. And Tosfos says, Veinoya lehachmir, it's quite good. Lahachmir actually to accept the Ri's opinion that the injunction is not a temporary one, it's also applicable to all circumstances. Lahachmir aflonu, even in our case, that there is no problem of safety, we should not leave someone in the Bisakneses alone. What is the reason for the Ri? What do you say, what's the reason? Call that, I would say historical reason, all right. Historical reason, of course, history changes. See, the reason is gone, the injunction is abandoned. According to the Ri, it's more a metaphysical reason, ethical reason.
Gemara uses two psukim.
Yeah.
Actually, the first one is maybe equated to a safety
reason. What's the two psukim?
When it's Torah, Nashor,
Be'alcohol. Yeah, Torah, Nashor, Be'alcohol.
That's the first one. The second one is Vayatek Turmin Komo.
Yes, yes.
In the sense that the tzibur determines the shechina and the shul, and maybe removing it by leaving the shul before someone leaves.
Yes, but there is not tzibur at all. Basically, this is the idea of prayer, that my prayer is his prayer and his prayer is my prayer. There is no selfish, isolated prayer. I don't pray only for myself. I never use the singular in prayer. You know that the singular in prayer is not used at all. Only once is the singular in prayer is used. Where is it used in singular? Ah? Then Brishmi is not a prayer. Ah? L'kan etzir shirim aros, osam daram yirmon, l'kan nafsidim, kain. Yes, and what else? Where else is the prayer that has? Shatlin ayim v'chol yeim, mazipanim, mazuspanim, v'shochan aros. Of course, the prayers are subsidiary in nature and secondary in nature, but the basic prayer, Shem Nesri, not a single time is there the singular, form. And nor, even if I say a prayer for a chile, for a sick person, it's always betech Shah Chile Yisrael, among other sick people. Yes. Yeah? You mean the broche? You mean the broche from the Mapo Shedimeino? It's a broche, not a prayer. But a prayer, when I say prayer is Shem Nesre, When you say Tfilah, this is Shem Nesre, there's not a single time that the singular is used. And not even, the Gemara says that even Tfilah Saderach, for instance, I travel. So, why should I? All right. You see, the benedictions in Shem Nesre are basically standardized, and they apply to general needs. To general needs, for instance, need for intelligence, need for repentance, need for abundance, for healing. For healing, all right, fine. So I include everybody. But if the prayer is actually related to a certain circumstance, or to a certain situation in which I'm involved, no one else is involved, all right, now on a plane, many people go on a plane. But the Mechazal, there were no planes, no trains, no buses. So who used to travel? Used to travel on a donkey. All right. Used to travel. So only an individual used to travel. Each individual traveled separately. So you've got to say, what kind of a broche should he recite? Logically. You should guide me, you should bring me to my destination. No, the Gemara says no, under no circumstance. You should guide us and bring us to our destination. You should save us and protect us. Who is the us? There is only a lone traveler, in the woods. Why should he pray for someone else who is 50 miles away? The answer is, the Gemara says. Here it is, Daf Lamed, Amud Aleph, Nikud. Daf Lamed. Omar Abaye said, Daf Lamed, Daf Choftes, Omed Beis, the last line, the last two words. The last line. Omar Abaye, Le'ilom, always, Le'shatef inish nafshe bade tzibure. He should never say any prayer for himself, but just always involve the congregation or others in the prayer, to pray for himself and on behalf of others. Eicheneime, how should he say Tfilas Haderech? How should he say Tfilas Haderech? You should guide us, lead us, lay shalom, in peace, that's all. It means v'chulu. This is halacha. There is no single prayer. Prayer is only not for a yochid. Because basically, I told you, I believe many times, a yochid has no right to approach God. Who is he? Just a wretched, worthless, shameful being. Congregation, yes, the tzibur, yes, but not a yochid. If the Yochid wants something from God, he wants to appeal to him, petition him. It's only if he includes himself in the tzibur. He's a part of a greater community. If a greater community. If he's not a part of a greater community, what he and himself, he himself, his wife, his children, this small community, I mean, it actually is, it would be insolent on the part of this small community to approach God and to demand and ask, this is Allah, this is the Allah. This is a rule in Yahadus, I mean. That's a rule in Yahadus, I mean. That's, yeah, what you want to ask? Yeah, there it's not prayer. This is thanks. Gemu is thanksgiving, I mean, of course. Yeah. And in Gemu, I say something which I should not actually apply to others. I say, Agimel lechayovim teves, who bestows grace upon those who are guilty and not worthy of his grace. No, I couldn't say it about others. I can say it myself. I told you once, no? Shalom says what is the... His wife once, I mean, a woman was in a... so to say, was in trouble. And she was saved. So she's also supposed to bench Gemu. All right, but the woman is upstairs, let us know him. How could she bench Gemu? You have to go up, bime, near the cemetery. So the husband recites Gemu on her behalf. Very good, nice. But he has got to leave out two words. The word lechayovim. You shouldn't say, I thank the God who bestows grace upon people who are guilty and unworthy of your grace. This he can say about himself, not about his wife. His wife is worthy, you see. This is Aloha, the Mag Avraham says it. Mag Avraham. You see, this is Aloha. But always prayer, when I say prayer, it's petition. Petition is for all. And that's why. It's not only a question of grammatical form, that I should use the plural instead of the singular. It's more than that. When I pray, when he prays, I'm involved in his prayer. By leaving him, walking out on him, I just manifest my disinterest and complete indifference to whatever he's concerned with, and I display complete indifference toward his need. It's a separate aloha in prayer, contrary. But anyway, let's return to the topic. Because of the safety, that's why they used to daven Maariv very early, in order that people could walk home, I mean, still at daytime, not after nightfall. That's why the Rav Netam, so Rashi said, actually, the Maariv is no Maariv, the Krishma is no Krishma. You see later, but Rashi made one concession, that the brachas could be recited. Rabbi Netam couldn't understand that. First of all, Rabbi Netam couldn't separate the brachas from Krishma. Rabbi Netam was as consistent as the Rambam. If you take the position that Krishma requires nightfall, and before nightfall the Krishma is worthless, so to say, so then the brachas must not be recited either. Since they do recite the brachas, Rabbi Netam could not separate, divorce the brachas from Krishma. Since they do recite the brachas, apparently that Krishma itself is a perfect, the recital of Shema itself is a perfect performance. Hence, the Rabbi Netam arrived at the conclusion that Krishma can be recited earlier. Then there was a problem, his problem, Rabbi Netam. If Krishma cannot be recited earlier, what we know, there is no doubt that Shem Nesri can be recited earlier. I want you to understand. There is no problem that Shem Nesri can be recited before nightfall. There is no problem about it at all. I'll tell you why. Because Shem Nesri the Zmani Atfila, the appropriate times for Shem Nesri have been fixed in accordance with the schedule, I would say, the time schedule, the timetable in the Beis HaMikdash. Shachris, for instance, corresponds to Tomit Shal Shachar. Milche corresponds to Tomit Shal Ben Arbaim. The Tomit Shal Ben Arbaim was finished, actually, I mean, after Plaga Milche. I mean, the Tomit Shal Ben Arbaim could not be offered less than an hour and a quarter before sunset. So basically, you see, the Yemei Shal Mikdash, the Mikdash had its own calendar, its own timetable, its own time schedule. The Dalsei Sahechul, I used to say, Dalsei Sahechul, the doors of the Hechul, used to be closed before Plag HaMikdash. And the very moment the dances are hechel, the doors of the hechel were closed, no korbanos could be offered anymore. Yes. So the Levim used to close that bisa was the sign and the symbol, actually. That the bisamigdosh of the service of the day service, came to the conclusion. And the dalsas hechel used to be closed at Plaga Minche, an hour and a quarter before sunset. Is in Beis HaMikdosh, after Plaga Minche, it was considered Laila. It was Laila, it was evening, not day anymore. Because there was the day, the length of the day was measured by the service. When the service used to begin at Amud HaShachar. When the, so to say, dawn used to come up, what do you say? At dawn. And close at Plaga Mincha, an hour and a quarter, when the day is the standard day, 12 hours. So it means. That's why tefillah, after Plaga Mincha, actually you can daven ma'ariv. You can daven ma'ariv. This was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, apparently. So since the Gemara and Rav used to practice this halacha, he used to daven ma'ariv even Friday, and say Kiddush before sunset. So he used to daven. So Rabbi Tam could not imagine that Rav used to daven just Shemnesre and leave Krishna Brachas for later. First of all, it would be an infraction of the rule of what of same smichas going with tefillah. So that's what prompted the Rabbi Tam. Practice basically. We may at home they all davened ma'ariv before sunset, and not sure the halacha that tefillas ma'ariv can be recited before sunset, and if tefillas ma'ariv can be recited before sunset, well, why not Krishna? This is basically like three shittas here. Shittas Rabbi Netam, shittas Rashi, and shittas Rambam, this is Chachmei Sfarad. Shittas Rambam, basically consistent, is the Rashi, no, the Rabbi Netam and the Rambam. They are consistent from A to Z. They say either the Rambam says Krishna is a mitzvah which is exclusively related to Laila, like any other mitzvah which depends upon Laila, like Matzah, like so forth, like Sfiras Reimer, you understand, like Kriyas HaMegillah, many mitzvah, and so the time for its performance commences when? At Tzeisak Yechorim, and before Tzeisak Yechorim, neither Shema nor the Broches must be recited. If you want to daven, all you can do is to say Shem Nesre. This is Shittas Rashi, this is Shittas Rambam. Shittas Rabbi Netam is just the opposite, just the reverse, just the reverse. Krishna does not depend, is not dependent upon Laila. Krishna depends upon Zman Tefillah. In the evening, not in the morning. And Zman Tefillah begins when? At Plaga Minche, and Krishna, both Krishna and Broches, can be recited from Plaga Minche, an hour and a quarter before sunset. Yeah. And then you don't have to repeat Shema at all. All right, if you read Shema before retiring, but at the mitzvah of Shema you have one discharges, even though he does not repeat Shema later in the evening. This is the Shittas Rabbi Netam, the opposite Shitta of the Rambam. Rashi somehow took a middle stand, so to say, a middle position, compromise. Shema, as far as Shema is concerned, he agrees with whom? With Rambam. As far as Broches are concerned, with Rabbi Netam. With Rabbi Netam, he says Broches could be said actually even before nightfall, from Plaga Minche. Does Zman Broches, Zman Krishna does not coincide with Zman Tefillah in the evening? Zman Tefillah commences at Plaga Minche, Zman Krishna commences at Tzeisak Yechorim. However, Zman Amiras HaBroches is the time for a cycle of the Broches, coincides with Zman Tefillah. They both commence with what? With Plaga Minche. According to Rashi, if you go into Shul, but you daven ma'ariv very early before sunset, you daven with them. You say the complete davening. All Rashi would recommend is the repetition of Shema before retiring. In order, according to the Rambam, you must say only the Shem Nesre, not the Broches. According to the Tam, you say the Broches and Shem Nesre. You don't have to repeat Shema at all. This is Shittes Rabbi Lezer. This is Shittes Rabbi Lezer. There are three basic Shittes. Why, just a minute. Why the Rabbi Netam? Let us take a look at Rabbi Netam. Pirash Rashi, let us just say this. Pirash Rashi. V'anan eiche karinim b'yom. How do we reach Ma before sunset? I mean, this was as old as the Yerushalmi. I mean, Rishonim speak about this institution. I mean, this custom of reading, of davening Ma'ariv before sunset is something very old, ancient. Ve'inonu mampinim le'tzeis ha'kchovim, you don't wait for tzeis ha'kchovim, contrary to the Mishnah, to the Forash B'gemore. How came Pirash Rashi, therefore Rashi interpreted, she'kriya shma shala mito, the kriya shma which I read before retiring, Iker, is the main kriya shma, it means. V'hu l'acha tzeis ha'kchovim, means. Of course, this kriya shma is being read after tzeis ha'kchovim. V'yoche yiseh b'Yerushalmi, that's what Yerushalmi says. In koro kedim lochein, if I read Shema before nightfall, lo yotzo, I have not discharged my duty. V'im kein lomon mispal in krishma b'veis ha'knesses, why do we say it, b'veis ha'knesses? K'de l'amid b'tfilo m'teir divrei teiro. What does the Yerushalmi mean? The Yerushalmi also is in agreement with Rashi, that krishma depends upon what? Well, but the Yerushalmi knew very well of the custom which was prevalent, I mean, among the people both in Eretz Israel and in Babylonia. It's a custom. It's very strange. In Eretz Israel, that I was under Byzantium. All right, they were very bad, I mean. The Christian Byzantium was very bad. As far as Jews are concerned, extremely bad. Extremely. And it's very, I mean, oppressive and the chicanery in which Byzantium, I mean, engaged, I mean, is unimaginable, I mean, matter of fact. So you don't know much about Byzantium because we have a few records. But you know many takones. For instance, the fact that Gdusha was shifted to Volitzin. Why was it shifted? Because Byzantium has prohibited the recital of Gdusha in Shemnesra. Used to send in a detective, a policeman, to watch the Jews. Shouldn't say Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh. So they shifted the Gdusha from Shemnesra to Volitzi, and the detective couldn't wait so long, so used to leave. So used to leave the shul before. Or for instance, we don't say Piet. If you say Piet, you'll find out that many, many, actually, the Piet, particularly for Yontef, contain halachic discourses, actually. Many laws. Why was it introduced? Because they prohibited the lecture of the Chochom, of the rabbi, in the afternoon. Every Yom Tov and every Saturday, the rabbi used to lecture. On aloches, on teres. They prohibited, and they wanted the people to be acquainted. Rabbi Seinu, our sages wanted the people not to forget Hilches Yom Tov. So they introduced, we formulated the halachic discourse in a poetic language, and they introduced them in the recital of Piet in Beis HaKnesses, and so forth and so on. I mean, so, Yet Kishif was before, it was the Romans. It's not Byzantium, the Romans, the classical Romans. This was before the Mishneh, long before Churban Bayis. This was when Yerushalayim was actually, a satellite of the Roman Empire. So they thought, they blew the shofar, and they thought it's a call for rebellion, a call to arms, for rebellion. That's when they killed the congregation. That's why they introduced Kiyah Shofar years ago. In olden times, they used to have Kiyah Shofar and Shachris, Malchus, Reine Shofars and Shachris. They used to blow Shofar, during the recital of Shachris. But in the morning, Shachris used to daven at sunrise, you know, again. So the Romans here, suddenly, the clarion call, apparently they construed it as a call for arms and to rebel. So actually they sent in the garrison and they exterminated the entire community. then they did transfer the broches, Malchus Chen Shefer and Kir Shefer from Shachas to Musaf. And Musaf they see already that Musaf is much later. Usually a revolution breaks out at night or in the early hour, in the early morning hour. Musaf is already around noontime, and they saw that people engaged in prayer and service, so they didn't suspect. This is one of many reasons, but this was much older. But Byzantium we have a lot. Byzantium was very bad, Byzantium. When Christianity, became the state religion, then the Jews had no chance. Anyway, but in Babylonia also, Babylonia on the contrary, Babylonia Jews enjoyed religious liberties in Babylonia. But it's a different story. But this is the bottom of the Roshim. They were outside of town and they couldn't do it. So this is exactly, they used to daven Shem Nesre, daven Meir before. All right. Teimel et Perushe, so Tosis ask, according to Rashi, that Krishma, the main Krishma, is the one which is recited before retiring. Balayin Eilam Regilim Mikri Samuch Lishvivo, the people reading before retiring, on a part of Rishim, only one section actually. And if according to Rashi, that the main Shema is the one which is recited before retiring, all three sections should have been recited. I told you many times that Rashi himself noticed this. Rashi said to the Kriya Parsha Rishino, Shodam Kera on the first Yotzer. Rashi says, even though the Shema Shalamito is the important Shema, but he doesn't have to repeat all three sections, one section suffices. It's because Rashi is of the opinion that only one section is Midraite, only one section. And the two other sections, Vohoyim, Shomeya, and Vayemer, are Midrabonon. Now, what is the section of Ar Midrabonon? Conservative rabbis say, if Midrabonon, Rabbinu Torah, then they don't have to do the Kippur for nothing. But Rashi was nothing to say persuasion. So what is Midrabonon? You can just ignore it. All right, you see from Rashi that he says that one section suffices, that Rashi is of the opinion that one section is with Raita, the rest is with Rabbanan. But otherwise, Rashi couldn't have distinguished between the Raita and Rabbanan, between the first section and the other two sections, would be nonsense. So you see, there is a basic distinction between these two sections, between the first section and the other two sections. Yes, it means the first section is with Raita, the other two sections, Voyim Shemeya Vayim, was Mirabban, fine. But still, this does not answer the problem. Why it is Mirabban? Why, and since Rashi requires Lilo for business, why should Rashi require the only Lilo for the section which is Mirabban, and permit the recital of the two other sections? Even before Zmankri, even before Lila, what do you want to say? Conservative rabbi, should they be with certain, you don't have to say this often. It is still a concession to conservatism, huh? No, it isn't. No, of course, he said it three parts before, but the three parts he said, at a time which was not fit for recital of Shema. So why? Very simple. According to Rashi, the two other parshas don't belong to Krishna, but to the brachas. I told you once, if you'll take the brachas of Shema, if you'll just pay attention, what do they reflect, the content? What does the content reflect? The three brachas of Shema, in the morning, basically there are three brachas of Shema. Two prior, one after. At night, they introduce the separate brachas. Into Ashkeveni for safety and security and health. But basically, it's a special prayer, a night prayer before a memory trial. And I told you many times, Chazal, aware of the opinion that entrusting my soul to God at night is a great act of sacrifice. I entrust my soul. Commit to Chazal is death, almost synonymous with death, because the man is unconscious. I mean, completely, he's not alert. Responses in the environment. And it means it is and going to sleep means entrusting my life and my soul to God. This was Papina Chazal. That's why there's a special prayer. And if there are people who say Amatul Chavlisheno, so if you analyze the content of Amatul Chavlisheno, what is the content? The fear of death. And my sleep should not be equated to death. I entrust my soul, he will return my soul to me. Chalakai Neshama Shnasatovi is already again. And every wake, when a person gets up in the morning, it's a kind of resurrection. Of quickening into life a dead, unconscious person. So the miracle of dying and revival and resurrection happens every day. This is according to Chazal. If you'll take a map of Chavlisheine, and at the same time you'll analyze the Lekai Nishom Moshe Nosatabi, Ato Yitzat, Ato Nefachzi, Ato Litwoman, Ato Zirobi, what has got to do with with the prayer, with the morning prayer? Because I just experienced the same miracle. And what is death if not the extinction of consciousness? And what is life if not the fact that man is aware of things? And resurrection happens every day. This is according to Chazal. If you'll take a map of Chavlisheine, and at the same time you'll analyze the Lekai Nishom Moshe Nosatabi, Ato Yitzat, Ato Nefachzi, Ato Litwoman, Ato Zirobi, what has got to do with with the prayer, with the morning prayer? Because I just experienced the same miracle. And what is death if not the extinction of consciousness? And what is life if not the fact that man is aware of things, responds to things, stimuli excite his mind and his body? So this is what appears. This is why Ashkenazi was introduced. But basically, the standard three brachas are the Maariv Aravim, Hava Seilom, and Emes Emuna. In the morning, Yetereir, Havarabo, Emes Yasir, Gaon Yisrael. What does the first bracha reflect? What is the content of the first bracha? What is the content? It's a long bracha in the morning, a very short, abbreviated, a very brief bracha, first and brief at night. What do these two brachas reflect, basically? Come on, word in the morning also, that God is the ruler of the world, and the entire creation accepts God's will, abides by God's will. Even Malochim, even angels, I mean, recite Gedusha, sing a hymn to him. Kabbalah says, Malchus Shemayim. V'chulam kabbalahim, Malchus Shemayim, Zemezeh, V'nishim Rishul Azeh, Nachasru Abesof Ruhur Avenimo. Even in Meir, even in the sentence, Kil Chai V'Kar Yom Tomi Yimu Echol Ha'il Lam Vore. This is Krishma, this is first section. Shema Yisrael, Avaya Lekeinu, Avaya Yachod, Borshim, Tveit Malchus Elavoyed. What's the difference between Borshim, Tveit Malchus Elavoyed, Mekil Lechayim, Kil Chai V'Kayim Tom Leim Elavoyed? It's only a difference as to the vocabulary. The same idea, the same motif, the same ideological motif. The second broche, Avra Seilom, Voyan in the Secha, as being Secha, V'Yachad Levin, Avaya Yashmech, Nesh Elavoyed, Voyim Shemeya Tishmuel Mitvesai. Abiding by God's commandments, by God's will, by his ethical will, fulfilling all the precepts, all the commandments. Now, what is the synopsis, the digest of the third bracha, Emes V'Emuna or Emes V'Yatri? Yitzias Mitzrayim, the historical end of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the fact that the people, when they emerged from Egypt, have accepted God as their king, and Hashem Yimachon Voyah. So of course, in order that the brachas could be recited, Chazal had to introduce two more parshas, you understand, according to Rashi. Because if I would cut down Krishna to the first parsha with the Raise, I could only recite one bracha, a Maariv Aravim, but not Havah Seilom, nor Emes V'Emuna. So Chazal, in order somehow to have the parallelism between the brachas and Krishma, they've introduced two more parshias. Each broche is assigned to a special parsha. Midrash is only one parsha. So the broche of Marav Arovim is assigned to the parsha of Shema Yisrael, which is of Midrash origin. But there are two more broches, so in order that there should be a correspondence between the broche and the parshas, they introduced two more parshas. So it means the parshas are not recited basically as Kriya Shema, but what? As broches. So the zman which is fit, the time which is fit for the recital of Shema, of the broches, is also fit for the recital of Shema. Of Royal Shemaya. So if Rashi were had been a conservative rabbi, it wouldn't have been such a long lot. All right, that's not good. It's just jokes. No. Yeah. Veit kosher, and they ask. And thus, the tzorech levor be krishma, shtayim lefaneo, shtayim lacheo, you have to say broches of krishma. The Arvis. And when did they say the broches? Because they couldn't imagine that Rashi should divorce the broches from Krishma to say that Krishma must be recited at night time and the broches can be recited before nightfall. The Ein Tosfos says Deinso Kriya Shema Samuch Lumito Einu Elo Bishvil HaMazikin. The Kriya Shema which you read before retiring is no mitzvah. It's a good protective measure of safety, so to say. No, protect yourself. According to Rashi, suddenly Kriya Shema Shalamite becomes, assumes proportions of the Kriya Shema Midraise. They said it's completely, you see, distorted. I mean, the role of Krishna Shalamite, the Gemara says that if he's a Talmud Chochom, he's not afraid of Mazikim, so he doesn't have to say Shema. If he wants studies before retiring, there is no need for him to say Shema. Ah? What do you say? Pesach night, you say, but one parsha. But however, so it means only it is people who simply who come in, who retire without studying first and without engaging in mitzvahs, so Krishna Shalamita is necessary. But according to Rashi, Krishna Shalamita assumes mountainous proportions of what? Basically, this kasha is no kasha. Rashi didn't say, Rashi speaks about, not always Krishna Shalamita is midraise. If you happen to daven Krishna, to say Dav Mairiv and say Krishma Bechaseo before nightfall, then Krishma Shalamite becomes Midraise, is raised to a very high level. But however, if you Dav Mairiv Bismano, if you Dav Mairiv at a proper time, I mean, this Kashin Tesis is very strange. But Tesis is basically Tesis Kashi, the main Kashi of Tesis is how can I say Shema with the Broches? If the Shema is no Shema, it's worthless. How can I recite the Broches? And that's where Rashi says that the Broches don't depend upon Zman Kriya Shema, but upon Zman Tfileh. And that's exactly what Tesfos defied. Tesfos cannot understand how you can distinguish, discriminate between Shema and the Broches. That the Shema has no validity, no significance, and the Broches you may say before nightfall. Anyways, so you will say, but Tesis operates here is too. So you might say that according to Rashi, you don't say broches. It means perhaps Rashi, according to Rashi, you don't say broches at all in the issue, but you leave the broches for later. All you do in issue, you say Shemnesra. You see, there are two possibilities. Rashi did not commit himself, what did the people do in Shul when they assembled before nightfall? Did they certainly said Shemnesre, but did they also say Krishma with the Broches or Krishma without the Broches? We don't know. Perhaps they said only Shema Yisroel instead of Ashrei.
You see, wherever you have brochas and you follow up the brochas with Krishna, you don't say Ashrei. Because there's Gula Litzur, it leads up. Whenever you don't have brochas, you don't recite brochas, you don't just walk into Shul, the Mizrach, and you start at the Shem Sfasetit Yagat Lasecha, you don't walk into the king, right into his inner chamber. So you sit down for a while, and what do you say? Ashrei. If they did not say, if they said Krishna with the brochas before nightfall, then they davened a complete Ma'ariv. However, if they did not say Krishna with the brochas, they said only what? Shmal, only the Shem Nesre. So how did they start the Ma'ariv? The Shliach Tzibur used to say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Akinu Hashem Echot. And they used to read all three parshas. Ani Ad Hashem Elokeichem Emes. Shliach Tzibur used to say Kaddish. They used to read these three parshas instead of Ashrei. The Shliach Tzibur used to say Kaddish. And they would daven Shem Nesre. Later, after nightfall, before retiring, they used to repeat not only Shema, but Shema plus the brochas. However, if this were the case, if Rashi thought like that, so Rashi would require the three parshas of Shema. How can you repeat Shema with three brochas and just reciting only one section? But Tosfos operates, perhaps the people, but is Rashi Shita, there is no doubt that Rashi Shita is, they used to say the brochas in Shul, and before retiring they only said the one parsha Shema. But this is not so much troubled by Rashi. All right, Rashi, so this disagrees with Rashi. This was not afraid of Rashi. This was afraid of Yerushalm. Yerushalm, after all, said it. What do you do with Yerushalm? You cannot just say, ignore Yerushalm. What did the people do? So perhaps, this says, they just read Shema, not like Rashi. They read Shema instead of Ashrei. Shema was a substitute for Ashrei. They used to recite Shem Nesre and go home, and at home they used to repeat all three sections plus the brochas. So then they have not fulfilled the aloche of Gula Litzkile. There is a machlekes in the Gemara between Rabbi Shua ben Levi and Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Shua ben Levi is of the opinion that at night the order is reversed, that you say first Shem Nesre and then you say the brochas. This is Rabbi Shua ben Levi's opinion. You come into Shul, you say Kaddish, and you say Shem Nesre, and then you say Borchu, Kaddish, Shem Nesre, and then you say Marev Arov Mikrishma. But we have fasting like Rabbi Yechanan. The tefillah is be'emtza tiktum, it means the tefillahs are sandwiched in between brochas of Krishma in the morning and the brochas of Krishma in the evening. Because in the morning you start with brochas of Krishma, then you say Shachris, correct? You daven Shachris, correct? Then you daven Minch, then you daven Shem Nesre of Arvis, and then you say you recite the brochas of Krishma. So the brochas of Krishma are sandwiched in, but the Shem Nesres are sandwiched in between the brocha of Krishma in the morning and the brocha of Krishma in the evening. This Rabbi Shua ben Levi's opinion was rejected, was not accepted. Our opinion is that the same order we follow, the order we follow in the morning, we also follow in the evening. It means first brochas of Krishma. But according to Yerushalmi, if you should accept Rashi's opinion that Krishma bala Krishma requires Laila, and if we should say that the Yerushalmi thought that the brochas of Krishma were recited later, but they used to recite Shem Nesre before the brochas of Krishma, so it means that their custom, their ritual was that of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Eight Koshirim came paskinning Rabbi Shua ben Levi, domat tefillah is beemtza tiknum, the tefillah is they introduced in the middle. Pirish beemtza ben shnei kriyashma, ben kriyashma shal shachris, ben kriyashma shal arvis. Vanan kainu lenk Rabbi Yechanan, we have accepted Rabbi Yechanan's opinion. Domo lekamon, eizu ben elam abo, will inherit the world to come. The asimer, gula shal arvis, the tefillah, who says, first the brochas of Krishma, and then arvis. What Tosfos shows, that Tosfos, we all agree that Yerushalmi tells us about the ritual and the custom that they used to daven Ma'ariv before nightfall, before Tzitzak Chof. What did they do? We don't know. Tosfos says, if Krishma requires Lailo, Tosfos brings Rashi's shite ad absurdum, you understand? That's what Teisus tries to show. It's the way Teisus are in Rashi. We Teisus and Rashi, they have a Yerushalmi which cannot be disposed of easily. Yerushalmi has a historical record. It's recorded with people in the Mishnaic times, and during the period that the post-Mishnaic period, Talmudic times, early Talmudic times, used to daven Maariv before nightfall. The question is, what's about Kriyat Shma? So Rashi says, Kriyat Shma only after Tzeis HaKrovim, after the appearance of stars. What did they do? They used to say daven Maariv, but the Kriyat Shma had no significance. And then you have to repeat Kriyat Shma at night, correct? So they says if the Kriyat Shma has no significance, and so the brachas are wasted. So how can you say brachas? So you'll say, no, they didn't say the brachas. What did they say only? Shem Nesri Hak. What did they do? They used to say Dav Maariv, but the Kriyat Shma had no significance. And then you have to repeat Kriyat Shma at night, correct? So they says if the Kriyat Shma has no significance, and so the brachas are wasted. So how can you say brachas? So you'll say, no, they didn't say the brachas. What did they say only? Shem Nesri. How could they say only Shem Nesri? You need Gulal Tefillah in the evening. So the question, what do you do with Yerushalmi? If this Mishneh, Meimas Haikir and Eshma Ba'arovit, Mishor She'akiyanim Nechnosim Le'echel Betromoson, is to be accepted as the guiding rule, then the story in Yerushalmi is absurd. Then the people could not daven Maariv before. Because to daven with the brachas, there would be brachas levat olayis, because as long as Kriyat Shma cannot be recited, the brachas cannot be recited either. To say tefillah. Daven Maariv even tefillas arvis before Lailo, for a simple reason. Because by davening, by reciting the Shem Nesre before nightfall, he'll violate the principle which Chazal considered to be very important of what? Of Gulal Tefillah. That's what Teisus shows. Rashi wanted to reconcile the Yerushalmi with the Mishneh, that Yerushalmi also was an opinion that Kriyat Shma begins at when? At nightfall, at Tzeis HaKrovim, but they use, however, the broches, the recital of the broches, it was permissible. Teisus shows that it's impossible. Because if the Kriyat Shma has no significance, the broches are in vain. The recital of broches is in vain. And to say tefillah Shem Nesre without broches, this would be contrary to the rule of smichas gula letefillah. So this has only one way out of this dilemma. What is the dilemma? That the Yerushalmi rejected the Mishnah. The Mishneh requires Kriyat Shma after nightfall, but Yerushalmi was of the opinion that Kriyat Shma can be recited at an earlier time. And Teisus said, how can you reject the Mishneh? Yerushalmi reject the Mishneh. For simple reason. Because you know about Tfilas Arvis is a controversy between the Chachomim and Rav Yehuda. Chachomim Tfilas Arvis, when I say Tfilas Arvis, I mean Shem Nesre. Chachomim are of the opinion that Atomit Shorban Abayim in Beis HaMikdash could be offered until sunset. If this is the case, Mincha can be recited until sunset, and Maariv can only be recited, commences after sunset, means after nightfall. Yeah. The Chachomim are the ones who edited the Mishneh. This Mishneh was edited by the Chachomim who said not only Kriyat Shma must be recited after nightfall, but even Ma'ariv as well. However, Rabbi Yehuda, who said that Kriyishma, that Ma'ariv, that Tfilah, can be recited after Plaga Mircha, even before nightfall, disagreed with this Mishnah. When he disagreed with this Mishnah, he thought that Krishma coincides this man, Kriyashma coincides with this man of what? Of Tfilah, and if Tfilah commences at Plaga Mircha, so does Kriyashma as well. This is Tate's recipe. Lochim Pirish Rabbi Netam, that's why the Rabbi Netam said, the other Rabbi, just the contrary, I mean the reverse is true. The Kriyashma shall be Sakneses, the Kriyashma which is recited in the shul, between before Shkia Sacham, before sunset, Iker is the most significant one. Vimteima, Eichonu, Kerim, Kolkach, Mibidiyim, how could we reach Ma? Before sunset, the Yeshleimer, the Kaimelon Rabbi Yehuda, since we have accepted Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, Doma beperek Tfilas HaShachar, who said, in Perek Tfilas HaShachar, this man Tfilas HaMilche, the time of Milche, concludes, ends, at Plaga Milche, contra Rabbi Yehuda, like that, Milche ends at when? An hour and a quarter before sunset. And when Milche ends, Zman Arvis begins. Not only Tfilesh and Nesraf Arvis, but Zman Krishma as well. The Zman Tfilas Mirche at Plaga Mirche, Dainu Achados Ashois, 11 hours minus a quarter of an hour, it means an hour and a quarter. You take the standard day, it means an hour and a quarter before sunset. 11 minus 15 minutes, Poches Revi. ומיד כשיחלה זמן המלכה, the very instant זמן המלכה ends, expires, מסחיל commences, זמן ארוויס, the time for ארוויס commences. And if ארוויס is not only שמנסרה, Rashi and Rambam interpreted ארוויס means שמנסרה. Kriyashma has its own timetable. According to the Rabbi Netam, ארוויס means both. What does it mean both? Krishma and Shemnes. That's all right. Of course, in Rabbi Netam, there was no problem. I, the Mishnah, said, Tzeisak Echovim, because the Mishnah is in concurrence with whom? With the Chachomim, the same Chachomim, who actually did not permit the recital of Arvis before sunset. However, since we have accepted Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that Arvis can be recited from Plaga Milche, so then, I mean, we have no reason to discriminate between Kriyashma and Tfilah, and on the contrary, if Tfilah begins at Plaga Mircha, we actually unite Kriyashma with Tfilah, and we say that Zman Kriyashma commences also, I mean, when at Zman Tfilah at Plaga Mircha, it means an hour and a quarter, about 75 minutes before sunset. This is Shittas Rabbi Netan. This is the Shittas Rabbi Netan. This is the Shittas Rabbi Netan. Basically, the Shittas Rabbi Netan is difficult. Why is it difficult, the Shittas Rabbi Netan? Logically difficult. Why? Why is the Shittas Rabbi Netan logically difficult? Because Tfilah Shemnesres have been arranged in accordance with the service in the Beis HaMikdash with the Kobanes. So the timetable of Tfilah is basically not an astronomical timetable. Usually when we say Hafyem V'Lailo, we speak about astronomical timetable. Sunset, twilight, dark, nightfall, dawn, sunrise are astronomical concepts. Astronomical facts. It's the astronomical timetable. In Beis HaMikdash, they had a different timetable. And the timetable, for instance, particularly in the morning, that was also the astronomical timetable, used to be, was the determining. But in the afternoon, they had their own timetable. In the afternoon, actually, the day used to end an hour and a quarter
before, because the day, the end of the day, was symbolized by closing Dalsis Heichel. This was the symbol. The day used to begin with opening the doors of the Heichel, because no korban could be sacrificed unless the doors of the Heichel were open. The day used to commence with the opening of the, with the ceremonial opening of the door of the gate of the Heichel, and used to conclude, you'd expire with the closing. Is the Ktomit Shal Ben Arbaim, the time of Ktomit Shal Ben Arbaim, the time of Ktomit Shal Arbaim used to end, expire an hour and 50 minutes before sunset. So of course, since Ktomit Shal Arbaim was disposed of, so in Beis HaMikdash they used to say the prayers of Arvis, because for them it was already night time. That's why by Shem Nesre, Ma'ariv begins right at Plag HaMichel. Huh? What? Usually, but however, if they were late, this was the usual time. The use of but Al Pidin, the deadline was Plag HaMichel. The deadline. You are speaking not about their practice, but the deadline. And don't forget, after the Tomit Shel Ben Arbaim, they had to Haktoras Hakteres in the Heichel and at Locus Aneres. When they got through with all the Avedes, with the entire service, it was Plag HaMichel. I want you to know, the Kinim were very punctual. Kinim Zrizimim, very precise, very punctual, very efficient. They used to end just under that, under north, Plag HaMichel. Right. So that's why the Shem Nesre Arvis, since it has been arranged, the timetable of our Shem Nesres has been arranged, is being modeled after the timetable of the Beis HaMikdash. So we are not concerned in the astronomical night and day, but we are concerned with the Beis HaMikdash night and day. It was a different concept. But this is all right as far as Shem Nesre is concerned. But Kriya Shema has nothing to do with the service in Beis HaMikdash. Kriya Shema depends upon Lail of Ayim. No, and Lail of Ayim should be determined by astronomical facts to the exclusion of a timetable, of a fictitious timetable. Basically, Beis HaMikdash was a fictitious timetable in the Beis HaMikdash. Tefillah, yes, because in Tefillah. In Tefillah doesn't depend upon Lail, it depends upon the Zman HaKov HaSakov, upon the time which was fit for the sacrifice. So our timetable of Tefillah. Why did Rabbi Natam combine unite the timetable of Tfile with the timetable of Krishna? What is the answer here? No. What's the answer here? The answer here is apparently that according to Rabbi Natan, the mitzvah Tfile and the mitzvah Krishna somehow are not just two separate precepts. They form one entity. There is one continuum of Krishma and Tfilah. They have a common root. Krishma and Tfilah, according to Rabbi Natan, have a common root. And basically, this was actually accepted by Kol Yisrael. Very seldom did you see a man saying Broches of Shema separately and Shem Nesser separately. You say all together. They have a common root. There is a common denominator in Krishma and Tfilah. What is the common denominator? This is Kabbalas El Malchus Shamayim. Because basically, not only Krishma is Kabbalas El Malchus Shamayim, Shem Nesre is Kabbalas El Malchus Shamayim as well. And you don't have to believe me to take my word for it. I'll show you a Gemara. Take Gemara Daftes Vov. Daf Yudalad Amid Beis. Yudalad Amid Beis. I'll show you, I'll demonstrate to you this point with two quotations. Daf Yudalad Amid Beis. V'yomar Rabbi Yechanan said, the last line, Yudalad Amid Beis, or Reitze, whoever wants, she'ikabel olav, to accept, Ein Malchus Shamayim, the yoke of heaven, Shleimo, to perfection, not just. Yifne v'yitel yodov, should wash his hands, v'yoniach tefillin, because tefillin are also a part of Kabbalah Seir Baruch Shemayim, v'yikro krishma, he should read shma, ויספלה לשוצי שם נסרה, וזו היא מלכו שמיים שלמה.
I didn't say it, Rabbi Yechon said it.
That a complete, perfect Kabbalah's Eil Malchus Shamayim is Krishma and Tefillah. Now, this is one quotation. I'll give you another quotation.
Well, you've got to be such a, I mean, a matter of fact, you cannot say just arbitrarily. I mean, you have to prove, I mean, you have to demonstrate whatever you say is correct.
Now, you know very well the minik ki vasikin, we'll come to it, what vasikin. In Yerushalayim still they have the minik vasikin in many shul. I just read an article. You finish, you conclude, goal Yisroel at sunrise, on the nose, under that. And you begin Shem Nesre at the same time. You see, this is Yeruchoim Shemesh Mevakshi Fonecho. They'll fear this, apostle in the Psalms, the verse. They'll fear the sunrise, those who are longing for thee. Vim yoreach der derim, with the moon, with the rise of the moon, forever. Yeruchoim shemes, they'll fear thee, with sunrise, mevakshi fanecho, those who petition you. So he's vasikin. Vasikin means that there is a big, matter of fact, I know that my grandfather, my mother's father, never missed it. He used to have in olden kiles. I still remember as a child, there was the vasikin minyan. But here, if you say vasikin minyan, means a minyan which davens 8:30, 8:45, before Zman Krishma is over. But when you said vasikin, I mean, in the halachic terminology, vasikin means the minyan, the congregation which prayed at sunrise. It means how there was precision necessary. They used to start a certain time before sunrise and finish Goal Yisroel, it means Krishma, at sunrise, and immediately start your message. Now the question, take the test summit base. Daf test summit base. Klei Krishma should be read Kevosikin. As a matter of fact, the term Vosikin is a very difficult term. We don't know exactly the semantics of Vasikin. Now in modern Hebrew you say Vatik means an old timer, but this is not old timers. We don't know exactly the semantics of Vasikin is not clear what Vasikin is. Now in modern Hebrew Vatik means an old timer. Yes. Vasikin hoyogemrine so used to finish, conclude Shema im honeitzachamo, with the blossoming of the sun. It means the sun, when the sun emerges from under the horizon, it's like buds open up. Like buds, like the opening up of buds. It's Honeitzachamo. Yes. Tanya Namoche, Vosikin or Yegimreneso im Honeitzachamo, Kedesh Yismir Gulo Litfilo. He finishes Shema at sunrise and begins Shem Nesre at sunrise. Omar Rab Zere Maikroe. What pasuk is this custom, this ritual? So say rooted, based on, I mean, Yerucho im Shemesh, Mevakshi Fanecho. They will fear thee. What do you mean fear thee? Kabbalah Seil Malchus Shamayim. When you accept the yoke of God and you commit yourself to Him, Im Shamesh, the sunrise, correct? Yerucho Im Shamesh. So Rashi says, Mosai Misyarim Imcho, when do they accept your yoke? It means, when do they fear thee or they commit themselves to thee? When they accept your fear, means your kingdom. The Hainu Malchus Shamayim, this means refers to the Malchus Shamayim, the heavenly kingdom. Shemkavnaleim, which is being accepted, Bikri Shema when they reach Shema. Correct? Now, it means, you see, there was a strange arrangement they were seeking. The Vosikin used to finish Shema when? At sunrise, and the same instant, the same begin what? To recite Shema. So what is important here? The finishing of Shema, the conclusion of Shema at sunset, or the beginning of Shemnesre at the same time? What is here important? Shema, or the, you understand? The link, there is a link. Sunset is the link between Shema and Shemnesre, correct? Shema is read before sunrise, excuse me. Sunrise is the link, so to say. The link. There is a chain of Krishma and Shemnesre. The link between Krishma and Shemnesre, which connects Krishma and Shemnesre, is sunrise. Krishma is recited before, Shemnesre following. Yet or following. So what is important here? It's important here that tefillah be recited following Shemnesre, or on the contrary, that Krishma be recited prior to tefillah should follow sunrise, or Krishma should precede sunrise. What is important here? What's important here? I don't know. Take a look. Vosikin, or perhaps both. Vosikin, or Yegemre Neso, Himoneitza Chamo, they used to finish Shema at the time when the sun used to rise. Kedeshi Yismeir Geulo Letfilo, in order he should follow, I mean, Vishem Nesre, the conclusion of Krishme. Venimtso Mispalel Bayeim. And so he will say his prayers at daytime. From the Gemara would appear that the emphasis is placed on tefillah. But since there is aloche of smichas gula letefillah, so you have to say, if tefillah must commence exactly at sunrise, so you have no choice but to what? But to see that Krishna precedes sunrise. Because otherwise there would, what would be missing? Smichas gula letefillah. Correct. But Rashi didn't say. Take a look at Rashi. My kro the mitzvah is palel himoneitza chamo. Just a minute. It was me. My kro, where is the source that it is incumbent upon us to pray with sunrise? So it means Lispal, Rashi said Lispal, Rashi didn't mean Krishna, but what did Rashi mean? Tefillah. So Rashi is the way we have interpreted. Rashi would concur with us. But then Rashi next. Dichsiv, Yerucho im Shemesh, Mosai Misyarim imoch, when do they commit themselves to thee? Geshemeroacho mekabmalim, when they accept your fear, it means your kingdom, your authority, your sovereignty, correct? The Hainu Malchus Shamayim, the heavenly sovereignty, correct? Shemekav Malem Bikriyashma. So Rashi comes out on the contrary, that the emphasis is placed upon what? And Krishna preceding sunset rather than and Tfile following sunset. But if Krishna precedes sunset, Tfile must follow sunset. Sunrise, excuse me. Now, if you'll just turn the pages a little bit. Tfilas HaShachar. Tfilas HaShachar. Oh, excuse me. Chofte Somet Beis. Chofte Somet Beis. It's right there at the end of the narrow column. It's about a line, two lines before the column extends. Choftes Amud Beis. It's two lines before the column extends. You have it? Domar Rabchiye Barabe Omar Rabbi Yechanan. Rabchiye Barabe, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, said, Mitzvah, it is incumbent upon us, Liyispalel, to pray Im Dimdume Chamo, not only, he's of the opinion, not only Shachris should be recited at sunset, but Mincha should be recited at sunrise, but Mincha should be recited at sunset. Very late, keep the watch, it's all right for a businessman, there's no time. Keep the watch and recite Mincha before sunset. When he finishes, the sun should disappear beyond the horizon. It means, it's a banakta precision. This we didn't accept. I said, if the Yorei are there, there. We didn't accept because if you let people, I mean, Dav Mincha Soleil, they'll finally, I mean, recite Mincha after nightfall or they'll skip Mincha. Yeah. Just a moment, yes. Leiter Leib Maroved. Maroved was critical. Eretz Yisroel, this was the opinion of the Babylonian scholars. Leiter Leib Maroved. Maroved were very critical. Amam de Matzleim dim Dumechamo. Critical of one who davens Mincha very late in the afternoon and tries to conclude his Mincha at sunset. My time, why were they so critical? Dilma Mitra Felishaiti wouldn't have time, he'll forget Mircha. All right, fine. But anyway, Rashi says, Im Dimdume Chamo, what does Dimdume Chamo mean? Dimdume Chamo is the red. Dimdum, red. Red. When is the horizon red? In the morning and the evening. So Rashi says, Tfilas Yetzer Himoneitza Chamo. What is Tfilas Yetzer? What does Tfilas Yetzer mean? Yes, what doesn't mean Shkrishme? What means Tfilas Yetzer? Tfilas Yetzer means Shemnesre. Tfilas Yetzer is Shemnesre. Shemnesre. Not, Krishme cannot never be called Tfilas. Tfilas Yetzer Himoneitza Chamo. So Rashi says that Honetza Chamo is important not only for Krishma, but for Shemnef, for Tfilah as well. Interesting is, if you'll take a look at Rambam. You have the Rambam?
We have left out the Rambam today.
Perek Aleph. Aloche Yud Aleph. Perek Aleph, Aloche Yud Aleph. Veizu Zmano. What is the time, the proper time for the recital of Shema? Bayeim, in the morning. Mitzvoso, if one wants to perform the mitzvah to perfection, Sheyaschil Likreis, he should start reciting Shema, Kedem Oneitzachamo, before sunrise, before the emergence of the sun, Kadeshi Yigmer, in order he should finish Likreis reading, ולבורר ברוך אחרינו to say גואל ישראל עם הונצח חמו וביז the emergence of the sun at sunrise ושיעור זה כמאיסור שעוד. The Rambam says that from the beginning of Shema, we know now how the Rambam, what was the tempo of the Rambam in Davnin, I mean his space in Davnin. The Rambam says this should take Isur Shor 1/10 of an hour, 6 minutes. From Shema Yisrael until Goal Yisrael should take 6 minutes. Not much. Because you've got to figure out, I mean, in terms of minutes, I mean. If you want to be very precise and very exact, and to say Goal Yisrael at sunrise, so you have to start a certain time before Krishma, Shema Yisrael. So the Ram says if you start 6 minutes before Netzach Amo, you can say, conclude, Goal Yisrael at sunrise. It's quite a fast tempo, I mean, quick tempo. It should take at least 10 minutes. It should take, in my opinion, it should take 10 minutes. But anyway, it's a different story, how fast the Rambam davened, never mind, the tempo of the Rambam davened, his pace. It's a different story, but it's very interesting how the Rambam inadvertently betrayed a secret, how fast he davened. Kimi Yisro Shor Kedem Shetar Le'ashemes. Huh? Yes, very few. 6 minutes. Actually, Krishma itself should take 5 minutes. Krishma should take 5 minutes at least. And 5 minutes should take from MSV Muno, MSV Yatsiv to Goal Yisrael. It's very strange. Anyway.
So the Rambam, just a moment. Just a moment. So the Rambam, so the Rambam placed the emphasis upon what? Upon Tfilah or upon Krishme? Upon Krishme. Because he doesn't mention Tfilah here. It's Lichas Krishme, correct? Now if you'll turn the pages, in Lichas Tfilah, Perek Gimel Lichas Tfilah Aloch Aleph. Tfilas HaShachar Min Dishim Nesre Mitzvoso has the same vocabulary used here. It is, if you want to perform the mitzvah to perfection, Shiyaschil is Palel should start davening saying Shim Nesre Yim Honeitzachamo with sunrise. So the aloche of vosikin applies to both, to kriyashma and tfile. Why? One is before sunrise, the other one follows in middle sunrise. You see it, that the Rambam quoted the aloche in Lichas Krishma pertaining to Shema, and here he quotes the same aloche pertaining to tfile. But in Shema he said it should be read before sunrise, rise. And here he says it should be recited following sunrise, immediately. Because under the word of Yerucho, and the word of Yerucho im Shomesh, mevakshe fanecho, those who long to see thy countenance, who will commit themselves, or will fear thee, at sunrise applies to both. The Yerucho applies to both, to Kriyashma and Tfile. Why does it apply to both? For a simple reason, as Rabbi Yechanan said, as Kabbalah's Eil Malchus Shamayim Shleimo, a perfect Malchus Shamayim is compounded of Kriyashma and Tfile, consists of Kriyashma and Tfile. Is Yerucho im Shemesh applies to both, to Kriyashma and Tfile. That's what I want to show you. So the mitzvah of Tfile, even though it's a separate mitzvah, Kriyashma is one mitzvah, Tfile is another mitzvah, but there is a common root, there is a common denominator, it's a common background. Basically, there is Kabbalah's Eil Malchus Shamayim, an act of acceptance, Eil Malchus Shamayim, both in Kriyashma and Tfile. And that's why according to Rabbi Netam, once Man Tfile has arrived, Zman Tfila has arrived, you can say Krishma as well. You may say Krishma as well. That's a contra Yude, since Zman Tfila commences when? At Plaga Minche, so Zman Krishma commences as well. This is Shitzalitam. I want you to understand, this is all right, Zman, but this is accepted by all Rishonim, because Rabbi Yechanan said it, that Krishma and Tfila are, even though they are two separate mitzvahs, but when one performs both of them, is somehow they unite into one entity, into one whole, into one configuration, so to say. And what is it? Kabbalah's Eil Malchus Shamayim Shleimo. Apparently, Krishma without Tfile is imperfect, and Tfile without Krishma is not complete. A complete Malchus Shamayim Tfile is imperfect, and Tfile without Krishma is not complete. A complete Malchus Shamayim consists of both. Why? I would like to understand it. Why? I'll conclude with this. I would like to know why. Why is Krishma without Tfile incomplete and Tfile without Krishma incomplete? This is Yerucho im Shomesh. So Rash Enderam says Yerucho has both, so to say, has two meanings. Yerucho through the medium of Krishma and Yerucho through the medium of Tfile. Because both complete each other, they are complementary, they supplement each other. If one is recited and the other one is omitted, so the Kabbalah Seil Malchus Shamayim is not Shleimo. It means if I say Krishma without Tfile, so the mitzvah's Krishma is not complete. I want you to understand.
If I say tefillah without krishma, the mitzvah tefillah is not complete. In order that each mitzvah be complete and performed to perfection, both must be recited, and also this aloche of smichas gula letefillah, that I should combine tefillah with gula. Gula means krishma, and tefillah shem nesre together. Gual Yisrael, you don't answer Romain even, not to interrupt actually, not to disconnect, but the link must be as close as possible. This also is indicative of the fact that there is one unit in Krishna and Tfilah. It's a total system. But basically, I'll tell you, the Kabbalah's El Malchus Shamayim in Krishna and the Kabbalah's El Malchus Shamayim in Tfilah differ from each other. They are almost contradictory. They are almost mutually exclusive. I'll tell you why. Tefillah, let me start with tefillah. What is the basic idea of tefillah? Not a basic idea. The basic mood of tefillah, the mood, the state of mind, the frame of mind that a man should find himself before he approaches God with prayer and tefillah. What mood? What is the mood? What do you say? What kind of mood? Correct, humility. More than humility, worthlessness, helplessness, complete, absolute, unconditional helplessness. If a man approaching God thinks, of course God can help me, but humans as well. If a man is of the opinion that he can help himself, but he just needs a little bit God's encouragement, but he is capable of managing his own affairs, the tefillah is absolutely worthless. Not only worthless, abominable. The idea of tefillah, there is only one source of help and salvation. No one else exists for me. No one else cares for me. No one else is concerned with me. It is true, it's also true. Human beings, in spite of their sympathetic nature, and in spite of their kindness and benevolence, but however, if one is in trouble, in crisis, I mean, he can find very little solace in human beings, even in beings which are as close to him as one's family. Only in God. This essay in Eloim, I lift my eyes to the mountains. I mean, who are the mountains? Not the mountains. The mountains cannot give help. It means mighty people, great people, people with influence, with power, wise people, who tower over the average man, tower like a mountain, like the hills of Judea, tower over the landscape. And the answer is one answer. This is the mood. Or I can quote you many verses from Tilling, from the Psalms. Tfiloloni ki yadev, poor. What it means, poor, doesn't mean poor as far as material means are concerned. More than that, poor, completely neglected, completely helpless, completely in despair. Basically, the mood of tefillah is despair and resignation. If a man resigns, and then only salvation can come from God, then his tefillah is accepted. This is tefillah. That's why, if you want to establish, to get a taste of tefillah, you just read the Tachnun, you say, after tefillah. This reflects, Rachum v'chanotas v'nashma, Rachum v'laikal, Hashem v'pascheinu v'chmas v'sreinu, Chonein yad Hashem, bestowed thy grace upon me, k'um laloni, I'm an unfortunate, unhappy being. Rafein yad Hashem, heal me, kinevalad, somewhere I'm frightened. V'nafshi nevalad made. My soul is frightened, very much frightened. This is fright, complete despair. Is basically, tefillah is based upon the awareness of human worthlessness, human nihility. If a man is proud, if a man is vain, if a man thinks that he himself is a great macher, So you don't have to appear before God. Before God. The appearance before God is mean have no friends. No one. This is Kabbalah Sirma HaShemai. This is Kabbalah Sirma HaShemai. Complete submission. Complete self-negation. Complete self-devaluation. Complete, so to say, giving up of all my claims and pretenses and illusions. A man lives with many illusions and pretenses. I mean, complete removal of one's mask that is mighty and intelligent and influential and can accomplish a lot. I mean, modern man has so many masks to wear. Wear so many masks that in order to daven, to face God, to stand face to face, because tefillin means face to face with God, you got to remove all masks. And if a man removes his masks, then he finds himself that he's a very ugly being. Not so much ugly, but as helpless and miserable and wretched. This is tefillin, Kabbalah Sirma HaShemai. All the psukim around here, all the psukim. It's such a case that I have no capability even to express my desires. And before tefillah, Hashem, ad Hashem sfasai tiftoch, open my lips. Merubim tzorcha amcho v'daitom k'tzor, I have no intelligence. I could quote you, I mean, unlimited, I mean, numbers. Krishma is different. Because there is always a danger in downgrading of oneself, in self-negating, there is a tremendous danger. Of course, there is something positive if a man casts off his pride, his vanity. Because pride, many times, can be equated with cruelty and indifference. But there is an element of risk also in an act of downgrading of oneself, denigrating, or complete devaluating myself. What is hopelessness and something else? No, a lack of responsibility. If I can't accomplish much, so I'm not responsible. I remember many years ago when my mom's school was still an infant. I don't know what the school is now, but I don't know. It has grown up or still an infant. But a very infant, was actually an incubator. So I used to approach people, Orthodox Jews. They used to tell me, what can you help me? What can I tell you? What can I tell you? An alter ego, what can I tell you? This is exactly lack of responsibility. On the other hand, Yehadus operates with this very strange paradoxical theory of man. On the one hand, what is man? Man is zero. Zero, nothing else. Doesn't got more significance than a lonely zero. On the other hand, who is man? Man. Man is the greatest, most powerful, most creative being, greater than and superior to the angels. God close to God. Vat chasreyu ma'at melekim. Kere shomecho masa itz besecho yoreach vekechovim asher kenonto. Is on the one hand, I say, ma'enesh kisis kerenu, what is man that you are mindful of? Nothing, just dust. On the other hand, vat chasreyu me'at melekim is very close to the angel. V'koved v'odot atreyu, and you have crowned him with glory and majesty. This exactly. Both are necessary. If a man devaluates himself, he achieves humility. But with the achievement, with achieving humility, he may also achieve something else. A state of moral anarchy, complete irresponsibility. In Kriya Shema, what is the mitzvah of Kriya Shema? Kabbalah Seil Malchus Shemayim, Kabbalah Seil Mitzvahs. Kabbalah Seil Mitzvahs, in order to accept the yoke of mitzvahs, to abide, I've got to be somebody. A jellyfish cannot perform mitzvahs in our society. A man without a backbone, a man without a strong, powerful will, without the ability to be determined and to fight and to struggle. It's not only, I mean, it's not, not, it applies not only to our society, but to the Jewish history in general. I mean, to be a Jew, to be a lonely Jew, I mean, you need a lot of guts, as they say, a lot of courage. It's a heroic act. You've got to be a hero. Because Jewish life is a heroic life, because I live differently, I think differently, I do things which other people don't understand, which all other people ridicule and they poke fun at it because they don't understand me. Can't explain to anybody. And so forth on. I mean, once it was hard to explain to a goy what Judaism is, now it's even hard to explain to a Jew what we are doing. It's really so. So on the contrary, on the other hand, one must believe in his own capacities, in his own talents, in his own importance, in the centrality of man. This in Krishna. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Lekecho, Hashem Lekecho, Hashem Echod, yes, I accept, but because God has chosen me, and he burdened me with mitzvahs and commandments, with an ethical code, apparently God knows that I am capable of implementing his mandate. If I am the chosen messenger, the chosen apostle by God, to implement his message, apparently I'm very strong. I'm powerful. There is genius in me. And this encouragement. The Malchus Shamayim Shleimo consists of these two opposites. You know, Ramanda Lekotska used to say, well, of course, in his manner, it's very strange. You know, in the West, you have two pockets. Yeah. Ramanda Lekotska, you understand, we need two pockets in the West. But in order, in one pocket, should a man carry the inscription, Bezalem Elokim Bara Esodem, in the image of man. In the image of God, God created man. In the second pocket, he should carry another quotation. Ve'anachnu mo. What are we? Nothing. Of course, he said it in his Hasidic way, but this is the Malchus Shamayim Shleimo of Kriyas Shma and Tefillah. And that's why V'yiruchem Shemesh Mevakshe Fanecho applies to both.